John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, we read in verse 24, if you would please. Jesus said, "Verily, verily." Now remember something. When Jesus would say, "Verily, verily," when a Jew wanted to emphasize something, they repeated a word twice. This word, "verily," we might say today, "truly." In fact, to make an emphasis, we might say, "Listen, I really mean this," or "I want you to understand the importance of what I'm saying." Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." So what he is about to say, he's emphasizing, it's important. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Now, do you understand that? "He that heareth my word and believe on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." Listen to this. "But is passed from death unto life." When I was in Bible college, one of the extensions, Roger, did you guys have any extensions? You'd go out and work in a ministry. Was there anything like that where you were at? And okay, you could if you wanted to. Okay, this was a situation we really didn't have to, but I did. One of the places, it was just at the tail end of the Vietnam War. And at that time, it's kind of funny, when I got to thinking about this and decided to use the title of this message, I wondered, you know, are these, at least stateside, are these functioning like they used to? There used to be situations where right next to a military base, there would be what is called a servicemen's center. And these servicemen's centers would be there so that when the soldiers, the Marines, the airmen, whoever, you know, whatever base it was, when they would come off base, when they'd walk downtown, when they'd come off, they'd wind up going someplace. They just wanted an activity. I don't know what it's like today, honestly, but they would wind up coming into one of these places, and there would be games, there'd be, you know, there'd be some food, sometimes there'd be ice cream, and there would be, pardon me? The USO? Oh, okay. I know the USO, even during World War II, they were doing that. But these ministries would be there. What's navigators? Navigators would do that. But there was a gentleman in Columbia, South Carolina, right next to one of the bases. I honestly can't remember if it was an Army base I believe Shaw Air Force Base was there nearby. But he had an extension. He had a serviceman center where, servicemen would come in. And it was called NOSO, K-N-O-W-S-O, NOSO. He was an older gentleman, and this was his passion. This was his desire, that when servicemen would come in and they would have the gospel presented to them, somebody would be looking them in the eye and telling them, "You can, when it comes to salvation, you can NOSO. You can know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven." Now, this isn't the same message that I preached this morning, but it's something that I wanted to add, something that I wanted to preach for us because of what we're going to be coming into in this time. Like I said, it's this time in between Thanksgiving and right on through New Year's. It's one of the best times to give the gospel out. People are already thinking about God to a degree because of Thanksgiving and then because of Christmas. They're not always thinking about Black Friday. What's the Monday called? Cyber Monday. You know, sometimes they really are thinking about Jesus. If but for anything else, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is getting people to think about God because they hate God and they're trying to tell people, you know, you don't need God to enjoy the season. I feel so sorry for those guys when they pass into eternity, what they're going to be realizing. One day, Queen Victoria of England, Queen of England, heard a message that was fascinating to her. She got a hold of her chaplain there in England and asked, "Is it possible to be absolutely sure in this life of eternal safety in the next? Is it possible?" And this chaplain said, "I know of no way that you can be absolutely sure. I know of no way." Well, at this time, certain things that took place in the court of England were printed and they were in the news. They were in the newspaper. They would be put out. People could read what has been said, etc., etc. There was a pastor. His name was John Townsend. He heard about this and he wrote Queen Victoria this letter. "To Her Gracious Majesty, our beloved Queen Victoria, from one of her most humble subjects, with trembling hands but love-filled heart, and because I know that we can be absolutely sure even now of our eternal life in the home of Jesus, home that Jesus went to prepare, I would ask you, most gracious Majesty, to read the following passages of Scripture: John 3:16, Romans 10:9-10. These passages prove there is full assurance of salvation by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ for those who believe and accept His finished work." By the way, isn't it sad that there are people today that are telling others you can't fully know? I was witnessing to a Catholic priest one time, and I looked him in the eye and I said, "You tell me, when somebody asks you how you are saved, how you get to heaven, you tell me what you tell them." And he said, "Well, just by accepting the love of Jesus." Isn't Satan slick? Several days later, this pastor, John Townsend, received this note. Quote, "Your letter of recent date received, and in reply would state that I have carefully and prayerfully read the portions of Scripture referred to. I believe in the finished work of Christ for me and trust by God's grace to meet you in that home of which He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Signed, Victoria, Queen of..." Hey guys, we can hear you down here. Thank you. Listen, please understand this. If salvation is not at the very core of what we preach, don't worry about the disturbance. Let's get back to this. Let's focus. If salvation that is bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, if salvation for whosoever will may come, if this salvation is not at the very core of what we preach, who we serve, what we share, and why we exist, there's no reason at all then for us to keep the doors open. This place is to let people around us, as well as ourselves, know that there is a finished work of Jesus Christ. This place exists because whosoever will may come. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know something? People are not going to automatically gravitate anymore to the gospel. Even when we were out for lunch this afternoon, you just have to go. You've got to talk to them. It's not always easy, but the Lord didn't say it would be easy. He says you could do it in My power, but you can do it. This afternoon we went to one of my favorite places. How many of you like Arby's? All right. Just as we pulled up, there was a fellow that came up on a motorcycle. And when he got off the motorcycle, I noticed he didn't have any legs. He had what Sean has that sits here, except Sean just has one of them. But I got to looking at the guy and thought, oh man, I wonder if he was in the military and he lost them. I wonder if he was in an accident, something like that. So while my wife went in there and we ordered the food, I started talking to the fella. And I said, hey, listen, you know, forgive me. Look, I'm a pastor. I just was wondering, you know, what happened? He got gangrene from an infection, lost both legs. But here he is, he's riding a motorcycle. He can do that. I said, look, I pastor Faith Baptist on Q Street. He says, oh, I live on U Street. I gave him the Reagan tract and I invited him out to church. I hope and pray he can come. It's just spreading that seed. Listen, remember what John Getch told us? You don't rejoice in your fruitfulness. God takes care of the fruitfulness. You rejoice in your faithfulness. Not your fruitfulness, but your faithfulness. Now, there's plenty of times, and I can attest to it myself. There's too many times we haven't gotten the gospel out. There's an opportunity. But I wanted to encourage us tonight that just maybe we're going to have the opportunity to give the gospel to someone that will one day come to know the Lord. We don't know when it might be here. I praise God for that. But this is why we exist. Faith Baptist Tabernacle, this building, this property is here for one reason, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not for anything else. Well, yeah, we have an RU program. The RU program is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we got 2-minute warning. 2-minute warning's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, we could go on and on and on. Yeah, but we're here to glorify God. Exactly. And the God that we glorify said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, this is one of the passages that you read if you're reading with the church this last week. By the way, I'm trying to decide, I don't know how many people, maybe I should have the courage just to say, hey, how many of you are actually using this? I've had the reading in our bulletin. I don't know how many people are using it. I've enjoyed it. How many of you at one time or another this last year, how many of you have used it? I mean, you might not be using it now, but you've used it. Okay, good. We might continue with it because I like it. I think it's good. I'm not bragging him, a pastor. My habit has been to read through the Bible for years, has been to read through the Bible twice a year. With this, I stopped doing that, but I was also reading elsewhere. So, you know, it kind of changed things up. But we read this last week. This is a well-known story of the Apostle Paul and Silas. I'd like for us to go to it. Acts chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of the gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. By the way, I want you to notice something. You see where it says at the end of verse 21, neither to observe, being Romans. Let me tell you something. The culture in America is changing to this point. They will look at us and say, we are Americans. It's not lawful for us to follow what you're saying. You're preaching hate. You're preaching divisiveness. You're talking about people that will go to hell. You're trying to make people feel bad. That's exactly what's going to take place, is taking place. Do you know that just this in the last couple of weeks, They put the final stamp on it. It's coming out this next year. Kindergarten through eighth grade, the curriculum will be bathed in LGBT history and people. That's it. That's it. How many of you know children in public schools in those grades, K through 8? See, that's sad. But even me saying that, if somebody hears me over the internet say that, they'll say, you're a hater. No, I'm not. But Satan is slick. That's just the way things are here. Did that stop the Apostle Paul? Absolutely not. Let's continue in verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas complained. And at midnight, Paul and Silas whined. You know, what am I doing? I'm telling what I might be doing. Met with their attorneys. That's good. That is good, Brad. At midnight, Paul and Silas met with their attorneys. Yes, exactly. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And not only did they pray, but they sang. Oh, mercy. Can you imagine? If we could be there, we wouldn't understand the language, but could you imagine seeing the looks on their faces? Bloodied faces. And saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, you know that affected them. Oh, I tell you. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. Why? He was going to be killed. He figured guys got away, they were going to blame him. He couldn't blame the earthquake. It just doesn't matter. He was going to be put to death. He figured, I'm going to beat him to it. But no. But Paul cried, verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now that is true. That's a true statement. But understand, it wasn't just simply, he wasn't just going to be saying, okay, I believe on Jesus. Look at verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. What did they do? They gave him the gospel. They told him, we're sinners. They told him about Jesus. They told him about his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. They gave him the gospel. That's what it says. That's what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. He got saved. The people in his house trusted Christ. The question is, are we going to be a people that are looking others in the eye and saying, you can know so? You can know so. Is it that important? If you can't know that you're saved, why in the world do we give people false hope? And if we tell them that you can lose it, which we will prove tonight that you can't, if you tell them we can lose it, there's no eternal security there. The fact of the matter is, you can know. Now, there's a lot of things that people don't know now. They don't know how the country's going to go. They don't know the future. I know this seems like, you know, there's something that, you know, it's just beyond us, and it is. But can we go into our prayer closets? And can we do business with our Lord? And can we sit there and meditate on this? There is only one thing in this world that people can know. I know there's two things, death and taxes. Well, we'll set aside the humor on that. Is there death? Yes. But we're talking about eternal death, and they don't have to go through that. If there's one thing, the thing that gives people hope, they can know so. You know, we ought to be the kind of church that the name of it could be Know So Baptist. Because you can know. Can you stop and think? I saw a headline. You know, the next year, the markets, the economy is supposed to be roaring in 2018. That's the prediction. I don't know about that. There's been other times when that kind of thing has fallen flat on its face. But I know that my Redeemer liveth. Let's look at some things very quickly. There were people before us that said, I know. There was Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Listen, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That was the testimony of Job. Paul said this, you know this passage well, 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Peter in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's that bodily resurrection again. To an inheritance incorruptible, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, listen, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Not only is the inheritance guarded, but the heirs who have been born into that inheritance are shielded by God's power. That's what that word kept means. It's a military term. It means shielded. It means to have a garrison around it. In order for you to lose your salvation, in order for Satan to get to you and you lose your salvation, Satan and his minions have to fight through God himself. Ain't gonna happen. And all God's people said. John, he gives a wonderful testimony that we're going to see later. But it's there. You really can know. Can I have you, for the sake of being able to be a testimony for people in the future, this time, just take three things down, if you would for me, please. Just take three things down, and that's all I'm going to ask of you tonight. I want you to take three things down. Number one, his work for us is sure. His work for us is sure. Ephesians 2:8-9 we use when we give the gospel out. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you about a phrase in that verse. Look at verse 8. Look at Ephesians 2. Look at verse 8. For by grace, do you see the phrase, are ye saved? That phrase is in the perfect tense in the Greek. It means more than a past completed act. It could mean simply this. I closed the door. That's a past completed act. But it means more than this here. This is what it means. It means I closed the door, and at the present time, the door is still closed. All right? This is what he's saying. For by grace are ye saved. There was a time you trusted Christ as your Savior. You are saved, but beyond that, in this present time, you are still saved. Because of the past completed act, if you trusted Christ then, you're saved. Now. You're saved right now. Martin Luther wrote this. The life of Christianity consists of possessive pronouns. It is one thing to say Christ is a Savior. It's quite another thing to say He's my Savior, my Lord. The devil can say the first. The devil can say Christ is a Savior. It takes a born-again believer to say, He's my Savior. He's mine. Number one, His work for us is sure. Number two, please write this down. His word to us is sure. The first one, His work for us is sure. Now His word to us is sure. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Turn to it or just hear me read it. His word to us is sure. Look at verse 5, Hebrews 13. Let your conversation, Paul wrote here, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But listen to that phrase, for He hath said. That's in what's called the intensive Greek. What it means is this: He Himself, Jesus, God come in the flesh, He Himself hath said. And then He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the Greek, there's two negatives before the word leave. Now, the word leave means to sustain or uphold. What He's saying is this: I will not cease to sustain or uphold you. He not only says it once, He says it twice. He's emphasizing it. I absolutely, positively will not leave you. So His work for us is sure. But His word to us, He's telling us, I'll never leave you. Now, you can't lose this kind of salvation. Those people that are talking about how you can lose salvation, I don't know what kind of salvation they have, but the salvation I have, Jesus did it. I didn't do it. I don't sing that song, Jesus paid it half to Him I owe. Okay? Don't do it. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. Again, we've read this, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In order for you to lose your salvation, in order for me to lose my salvation, we have to go back to death again. You hearing that? We went from death to life, back to death. That, folks, didn't happen. It doesn't happen. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Once again, there's a double negative used there. He's saying, no, it won't happen. But there's also another word that doesn't show up in the translation. It's the word outside. The Lord is saying, the one who comes to me, I will not throw into the outside. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna shove you through the door and close it. It's done. It's done. There was a church that President George Washington passed by. He was a member of another church. I believe it was Episcopalian. But he went by a Baptist church. And he heard singing. And he went in and he got to know the pastor. And the pastor dealt with him about salvation. Listen to what George Washington, President George Washington, wrote in his diary. Let my heart, gracious God, be so affected with your glory and majesty that I may fulfill these weighty duties which you have required of me. I have called upon you to pardon me of my sins. Isn't that great to read? I'd like to go to the Freedom From Religion Foundation and have them read quotes just like this. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ offered on the cross for me. You gave your Son to die for me and have given me assurance of salvation. That's a joy. That's an absolute joy. Thirdly, please write this down. His witness in us is sure. His witness in us is sure. What witness is that? Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you're saved, and this has happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to you. You know, you can come across, if you're a fan, if you're a fan of a certain team, like for instance, Tim Schmidt, who by the way is preaching in San Leandro for Alan Fong tonight. We need to pray for him. Lord help him. He, you know, I love how he's getting around preaching. But when he comes across, you know, another Kansas City fan, you know, there's fun there, you know, like with Rich Tozier. But when you come across, when you're in a situation where you don't know who's a Christian, you come across another Christian, you know it. It's a joy. It's a joy. But it even goes deeper than that. Because in your prayers and in your meditation before God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit, which is speaking to the Holy Spirit. You're a child of God. Now, some of us have gotten so used to that, we have forgotten how precious that is. But there's somebody out there that's wanting to know, can I really know I'm on my way to heaven? Think about this. There are people in this community somewhere that are fed up with life. Remember I told you about the fellow that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge? They found a note in his vehicle. Gave his name, and it said this. No family, no friends, just tired of living. There's people like that. And as the hand of God comes off of America, the hand of God's blessing, these things are going to be more and more pronounced. We have the gospel. We just don't give people a cheery word. We can tell them they can know about Christ. The witness of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself witness with our spirit. There's the witness of a changed life. There's the witness of a changed life. Hey, if you're interested, you can write this down. 1 Corinthians 5:17, a witness of what I am. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Think about Paul. Paul's attitude about Christ went from, because of what Paul did, the transformation in his life, he went from being a persecutor to a proclaimer. The change in what I am. By the way, the change in who I love. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. By the way, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's why I kind of have a little bit of a question when I hear people who are saying that they are born again, you know, they're Bible preachers, and they're talking about people that they hate, people that are other Christians. I'm sorry, I know what my Bible says. I'd rather follow my Bible than a preacher. Amen? Do you know that, by the way, there was a time that people brought their Bibles to church and opened their Bibles, reading their Bible, where the pastor is taking them, and make sure that the preacher is preaching what the Bible says? Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Anybody have a problem right now? Okay, let us continue. Not only in who I love, but what I love. 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. One other, in whom I obey. And we've talked about this already. In John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and oh, by the way, they shall never perish. Now, again, we've gotten used to this. Do you realize how much of a habit we get into? How many of you that drive a vehicle, you have to really concentrate to drive on the right-hand side of the road? Does anybody ever do that? You know, now, there might be a couple of you. I'm thinking about one guy that's sitting up there. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But you know, just, hey, listen, you know, do I left or right? No, we've gotten into a habit. We've been doing it for decades. Now, I would hate to go to one of those places where you're going to drive on the other side of the road. It'd drive me up a wall, no pun intended. But seriously, you know, we don't have to do that. There's a lot of things we do we don't think about. It gets ingrained in us. I don't want to lose the wonder of the fact that Jesus died for me and I have salvation in him. I don't want to lose that. Not only do I not want to lose the wonder, I don't want to lose the burden, the fact that there are others that don't have that. The challenge is, did we ever listen and believe? If we did, praise God. The believing man is the changed man. I love Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's a joy. Somebody wrote this. Longfellow could take a worthless sheet of paper, write a poem on it, and make it worth $6,000. That's genius. Rockefeller could sign his name to a piece of paper and make it worth $1 million. That's capital. Uncle Sam can take gold, stamp an eagle on it, make it worth $20. That's money. A mechanic can take material that's worth only $5 and make it worth $50. That's skill. An artist can take a 50-cent piece of canvas, paint a picture on it, and make it worth $1,000. That's art. But God can take a sinful life, wash it in the blood of Christ, put His Spirit in it, and make it a blessing to humanity, and that is salvation. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. The story is told of a young girl who had trusted Christ as her Savior, and she wanted to join a local church, so she applied for church membership, and they asked her this question, were you ever a sinner before you received the Lord into your life? And she said, yes, sir. Well, are you still a sinner? And she said, to tell you the truth, I feel like I'm a greater sinner than ever. Well, then, what's the real change that you've experienced in your life? She says, I don't quite know how to explain it. Except I used to be a sinner running after sin, but now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner running from sin. They voted her in. That's a Christian. We are still tempted. Anybody here, you are, all week you weren't tempted with sin? I want to know what kind of DNA you have. Now, I got a flesh and you got a flesh, amen? But we've got a salvation. And that salvation is sure. And my heart's desire, and I don't always do it well, and I pray that God use what we do by God's grace and make it grow. But I pray that it's ingrained in the very DNA of our church, that we go out and we live in this community with an attitude of no-so. No-so. I remember talking to that old man that had that serviceman center. And he shared with us, before we got going there in the ministry there, how he would give the gospel to servicemen. And he had a passion for it. By the way, he used the book of John far more than he used the book of the book of Romans. And he would really use John 3:16 and such. He'd say, hey, you can know so. We're living in interesting times. Amen. Can we pray as a church that we will be fearless and we will be aggressive but not hostile? We'll be friendly and we will care for people. And, you know, by the way, Linda, praise God for that couple that you invited this morning. I didn't know what he thought about my preaching except that he disappeared halfway through it. But I know, but you know something? You know what was really neat? He had a wife that didn't speak English. She was in the nursery and Liz Villagomez was there. Guess what she was doing? She was talking about the gospel. She was talking about Jesus to him because he went there with his wife. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray in this time that, Lord, we would not be looking to man, we would be looking to you for all of our power, all, Lord, of our abilities, everything, to see people as you see them, sheep without a shepherd, lost. And Lord, I pray that we would have the same kind of burden that you had. As the story that you told, the parable you told of the shepherd who went out to find that one lost sheep. Lord, there's going to be a lost sheep that comes into our path this week. I pray that you'd give us wisdom, boldness, understanding to go after that lost sheep. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.